Now, wait a minute. I want to ask you, man, why you defended G? I thought that was really dumb. Because, you know, it made you look like a shill for G, and I was really surprised to hear you do that.
First of all, Harvey, what you're saying is not true. Second of all, this is not the place to say it. No. And if you want to continue talking about this, go somewhere else, because we're not going to talk about it on the show. You're wrong. What you're saying is wrong.
I said you looked like.
What you're saying is wrong, Harvey.
Here's your cousin. I said it looked like you were shit. That's why I don't understand, because you wanted laughs that night, and I got you your laughs. See, I had it planned. I figured if I...
Oh, Harvey, you've never planned anything in your life.
Oh, no, that's too wrong.
What did you plan? Your wardrobe?
Dave, don't worry, Dave. I won't come back unless you really ask me.
No, you're not coming back at all,
that's
Harvey,
all right.
Because we've given you many, many chances to come on this show and talk about things that we thought would be of general interest to people. And also, to promote your little Mickey Mouse magazine your little newsletter, your little clubhouse rainy day fun for boys and girls, your little weekly reader deal here.
Dave,
and you've blown every single chance you've had, Harvey. Every single chance.
So what?
You're not coming back.
Dave, I was a file clerk.
You're a dork, Harvey. Relax.
Hey everybody, good evening and welcome to Action Room Tonight. I'm your co-host, Tony Wolf.
And I'm producer Mike.
Well, in the entertainment news, today saw the first release on the cover of Entertainment Weekly of Ryan Reynolds, ScarJo's new husband, as the Green Lantern. Well, Mike, I think Green Lantern just might make Marvel's Iron Man movies green with envy.
All right, can we get back to normal here now?
So, what else have we got? Okay, action fans, that is actually not our show at all. We are the Action Room, the internet's hottest up-and-coming geek podcast.
I have to say, I kind of like that a little bit.
Well,
if we did that a little bit more, maybe...
Maybe we should. It's the game show voice. All right, so we are Geek Radio. We have our site online, which you are listening to now, so that all worked out. You can join us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter... And we have new shows every Monday and Friday. Name me one other podcast that has delivered twice weekly shows for 10 months.
I think we should pat ourselves on the back. We should, in lieu of your little opening, we should pat O'Brien ourselves on the back.
Pat O'Brien!
another guy who was destroyed by tapes about him being a horrible person.
What was the Pat O'Brien thing?
Pat O'Brien was the guy who did the sex conversation the way Mel Gibson now is with the tapes.
Sex conversation.
Yeah, he had these whole. That's why you don't see him anymore.
Why is he a celebrity? What was it? What did he do? He's an actor.
Oh, you don't even know who he is. He's the guy who.
Is he a hockey player?
He hosted Access Hollywood.
Oh.
And then he
did. He have a mustache?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he came out with these sex tapes, going, "I want to fuck you. I want to do." And he was calling some prostitute or something. It was insane. But anyway, okay. So I want to give us.
I want to read comics with you.
I want to pat us on the back. I'll pat you on the back. You can pat me. I'll do you if you do me. And that's a pat. And basically, look, man, we are just two people doing this thing by ourselves. I don't want to break any illusion that we have a whole crew. Just for the sake of this
other
one
than the Action
conversation,
Room studio.
Yeah, right? Two people doing a podcast twice a week, okay? And we get exclusive interviews. I want to say today we have an interview with Olivia Munn.
Wow.
Okay? Now, who else is offering the content that we're offering at the quality that we're offering it? Okay? So I just want to say that, like, you know, maybe this show might not get as big as it should, but for any of you who are listening right now, you loyal listeners who love us and come back every episode.
We appreciate it.
We appreciate it. And I just want you to know that you're being spoiled because there's no one else out there who does stuff the way
we
do.
And we have no organization behind us. We have no funding. We have no... Well, we have You Bet My Wookie, which is a sort of sponsor, and they're very cool. But it's just us, people. It's just us, Twitter, and Facebook. So
well,
spread the word.
When I hear you say it, it just sounds pathetic. But I just wanted to say that it's awesome what we do. And
So thank you for joining in. And if you like the show this week, come back. Come on back now, you hear?
So speaking of our big, big, we've been promoting it for like about a week now, is our Olivia Munn interview that we got at Midtown Comics. Now, this came at a price. You know, it wasn't very easy to do this.
And, we had to bribe her.
Before I say anything, Olivia Munn is a really nice, generous person.
Yes, she was very cool.
How did the day start?
Let's break it down. So we knew that Olivia was signing her new book. What is it? Suck It, Wonder Woman, The Misadventures of a Hollywood Geek. And we heard she had a book coming out, and we heard she was doing a signing at Midtown Comics. Now, we know the Midtown Comics guys. I've shopped there for 10 years. They're great guys. It's a great store.
And by the way, we want to plug Crazy Sexy Geek Series is what you look at YouTube. They have their Olivia Munn interview, and it's awesome, so check it out.
That's the official Midtown Comics podcast, and they're a lot of fun. So we had gone to Midtown Comics months ago for Amber Benson, and we got a great interview with her.
Basically,
from Buffy, exactly. Yeah, she played Tara on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and she had written a book too. So essentially, producer Mike has carved out this, what I call the guerrilla interviewing style. We've got
publicists? What are those?
We've gotten Robert Downey Jr., Gwyneth Paltrow, Sam Raimi, Jon Favreau, I mean, Eli Roth, countless people through mostly producer Mike's persistence. I'm sometimes present, but he knows just how to schmooze. But it's no appointments, no scheduled publicist meetings.
Tony, what
a team.
We
just show up.
What a team we are. I am, you're probably Mr. Talent. Let's call that, call it what it is.
But you're very talented as well.
Well, no, I'm Mr. Genius. And together, we make the Action Room. And it's just magic. There's chemistry involved there.
So anyway, we show up to these events with no appointment, no nothing. And we schmooze and push and prod our way in politely. So,
and in this case, it wasn't even schmoozing. It was just waiting a long
well,
time.
Well, you talk to the publicist. I can be the front man often, but when there's people that need to be finessed, producer Mike just goes in, he cuts to the chase, he talks to the people involved.
Now, we had done I had gotten an ID, which is on YouTube right now, of Olivia Munn and Kevin Pereira from the Action.
And Blair Butler.
From the Attack of the Show. and Blair Butler. Doing an ID in San Diego. So I talked to the publicist, and you know, he seemed to think it was a possibility after the signing. So we had to wait what ended up being 4 hours, basically.
Well, here's the deal. She had signed up for a two-hour signing, and they knew that it would probably go a little over. She'd had a signing at Borders 2 days before or a night before. That was supposed to be 2 hours. That went to 3 hours or something. So we knew that it would be more than 2 hours. What we didn't realize was the true extent to which she would truly, really spend quality time with every single fan.
Which is nice.
Which speaks well to her.
It just seemed like the line never moved. And we were basically waiting there. Started at what, like...
Eight?
Yes. Okay, started at 8.
It was 8 to 10 slotted.
It wasn't until 1 a.m. that we actually finally got the interview.
Yes.
And but she seemed, I mean, for doing it for as long as she did, she didn't seem completely tired. You know, she was definitely in the mood to do it.
She had her game face on.
The one thing that threw us, I guess, and we're going to play the interview in a few seconds, the one thing that I think threw us is that she has, you know, she's quick. She's been doing this for a while. She's very quick and on her feet, and she doesn't, you know, if you're trying to fuck with her, and sometimes we like to throw out some questions that are a little
edgy.
You know, not
she
traditional.
She can zing you back. And
oh, yeah.
I've watched a little Attack of the Show. Producer Mike, you've watched more than me. But I thought she was like, I'm funny, extroverted girl. But apparently, as you'll see in the interview and hear on the interview, she likes to sort of be the wise ass and sort of mess with people.
Well,
and I guess with Kevin, she'll kind of give him a sideways glance a lot.
She's very good at improv, but one of the main things she does, her default kind of humor, joke, style, whatever you want to call it, is to basically just clam up.
And give like a fake attitude,
attitude. An awkward pause, making the person who's talking to her seem like a complete douchebag. And so that's basically what she made us look like.
And I didn't know, we tried to get a hot girl for this interview, one of our hot girl female correspondents, because producer Mike thought Olivia Munn and beautiful Action Room correspondent, that would be gold.
What was I thinking? I don't know.
But they couldn't do it, so the responsibility fell to me, which
but
I gladly took.
You did a great job, And it's just one of those things where, again, we even planned to do this little bit at the end where you would say to her, sorry, Olivia, I got to go. Can you finish this up yourself and leave?
And I would just abandon her and leave her standing there with the microphone.
And this just to give you an example of what we were up against with the power of Mun, is that she, without knowing that we were going to do this,
right.
her own bit was to basically walk away
out.
From us.
She walked out on us.
Which ended up being a hysterical bit, but it was just funny how she's that quick. She's awesome. She's
right.
awesome.
Man. I knew she would be tired because she'd been signing for 4 hours. Her finger was all messed up and bent. And she actually Twittered a photo of her finger the next day, all bruised from signing these hundreds and hundreds of books. I knew she would be tired. I just didn't know the degree to which she would sort of give me shit and bust my balls and give me a hard
time. And that's the other thing.
And it was 1 a.m, and we're here at the comic store. She was so nice to give us the interview at 1 a.m, of course. We were the last thing. So literally, the store, it's dead silent. It's like a piano bar in those old movies when the guy walks in and the piano stops and everyone stares. Everyone's staring at me and Olivia Munn.
The needle, the record scratches.
All eyes are on me, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. It's going to be awesome. And then some awkward pauses. She started throwing the awkward pauses at me, or sort of the playfully snide answers. And I was like, oh my God, I feel like a bombing comedian. But it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought.
That's the thing. The perception when you're up on stage, basically.
A half second of awkward silence feels like 3 years.
Yeah.
Any actor will tell you that.
So you definitely, and I would say this is usually a rule in most cases, you always think it's worse than it really was.
Yeah.
So we look back at the tape, and it wasn't in any way as bad as it was. So I guess without further ado.
So we have audio of the first part of the interview?
Yeah, let's play. Basically, this is what is going to go up on YouTube. We haven't put it up. We'll probably put it up coming up maybe Wednesday or so like that.
But we want you to listen to the show first, this show.
Yeah, look, this is how I roll. Exclusives here before we show you the video.
We're going to time the release.
But basically, so you know, because a lot of this is visual, so at least the end bit is visual.
Right.
Because she walks away, so there's no audio. So basically,
I ask her, do you have any final words for us? And she gives a funny glance and walks away.
Which you'll see on YouTube soon, but for now, here is the interview.
It was an honor to be messed with by Olivia Munn. She's very cool.
And after this, we'll play a little bit of a post-interview moment.
Right.
But here it is.
Hello, I'm Tony Wolf here for the Action Room at Midtown Comics, and I am here with the thirst-quenching Olivia Munn from Attack of the Show, and she's signing her new book, Suck It, Wonder Woman, The Misadventures of a Hollywood Geek. So thank you for talking with us, Olivia. I know it's been a long book tour for you.
It's only the second day.
Is this your last stop in New York?
No, I have another one tomorrow in Long Island, and my finger, if you can see right here, this is from all night long. It's just bruised.
What exactly is Wonder Woman supposed to suck in the title?
A dick.
What has it been like performing and working as the first Asian correspondent for The Daily Show?
I've also added first senior espionage correspondent, who was also the first senior Asian correspondent at the same time as being an espionage correspondent.
How will Attack of the Show survive PM in a post-Mun world, or is that on the horizon?
Kevin Pereira has been given very strict instructions on how to not break shit in the house. So I hope that he just, you know, keeps things nice and clean until I come home.
You're not replaceable for the show.
Well, I might be. I don't know. You might want to ask the people at G4. But I know that for now that I will be there as much as I can be there and still pursue my other dreams and all the other stuff I wanted to do. So I'll be there on the 19th for sure. Okay. And then I'll be at Comic-Con.
And you've got a sitcom coming up.
I do. It's called Perfect Couples for NBC. It's from people who did Friends and 30 Rock, director of Seinfeld. And it's about three different couples and how they're basically just horrible people, in my opinion.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us, Olivia. We know it's been a long time here in the Midtown Comics. I'm Tony Wolf for The Action Room. Any parting words, Olivia? Thank you for joining us.
So she walks away. And I see peripherally that Mike is turning the camera back to me alone on the screen. And all I kept thinking is, if you give him a strong ending, they'll forgive you for anything. And she just walked out on me, you know, playfully. Obviously, she's just joking around.
But again,
I knew I had to finish strong, so I reclaimed it, and I smiled big.
But now this was, you know, you're thinking in retrospect it was playful. But at the moment, you were kind of like, what is she doing?
I know! Well, everything, even the Midtown Comics guys, I mean, they threw kind of a silly, easy, obvious question at her about does she like pie, and it's a running joke for 5 years that she likes pie. We try very hard with our interviews, and producer Mike is the real inspiration for this, to not ask the obvious questions or to not ask the easy questions. Because you figure these stars, they're on these press junkets for so many weeks, they're so tired of the same five questions. So we tried to give some edgier stuff, but she kept throwing me a little bit with just sort of like, I did love when I asked about Wonder Woman, what's Wonder Woman going to suck?
Yeah, yeah.
And when she said, a dick, I was like, okay, I guess we're rolling now.
Yeah, she right away, she went into it.
Yeah.
After that, we basically had, we talked to her a little bit, and again, she was really cool. And so
yes, we had a little conversation without it being a formal thing, but you were still filming.
Yeah, but the mic, the audio isn't really
good. Was the
good.
Mic on, but it,
well,
that's you weren't holding it up to her.
Yeah, it wasn't a direct mic, so it was right. Kind of an open mic, so the audio isn't very good. So
but it's worthy of sharing.
Well, here's the thing. You can try to hear it, make it out. The audio's not that great, but check it out. This is her, the question that Tony said.
Oh, because she offered to sign my book.
Right.
I was trying to make extend a laurel branch to her, like, thank you for doing this interview. It's 1 a.m, we're all exhausted. I bought a book, but you don't have to sign it. Just give us the interview. And she was like, no, I'll sign it. And I was like, no, she's just being nice. Then we did the interview, and she goes, get your book. I'm going to sign it.
Right,
and I was like, okay, she wants to sign the book, so I'm not going to be like, no. Then you know, when you have two people going, no, I really will. No.
I'll pay the bill.
Right, so I got it. And so one
of the questions you said was just, you said that Attack of the Show inspired us, which is true.
Which isn't a question, but
yeah.
I just wanted to tell her.
And here you go. So this is what happened between you guys.
Attack of the Show was an inspiration for our show.
Oh, nice. Well, Attack of the Show is something that is very near and dear to my heart, and I'm still a part of it. It's still my show. It's still my show. Until this day, I say out loud, it's not.
I hear you.
Or
hear
somebody
you.
Just says, stop coming. Thank you
all
so
right.
much.
Cheers. Have a great
yeah,
night.
Appreciate the support.
I love you. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Yeah, and I just, you know, I wanted to be thankful to her without being appeasing. You know what I mean? I wanted
right.
to be thankful that she did this for us at 1 a.m. without groveling.
Yeah.
You know?
So I just
She's a hot girl. She gets enough groveling
yeah,
from fans.
So
it was great. Thank you
awesome.
To Olivia Munn.
Yes.
And we so like you
and,
said.
And Midtown Comics.
And Midtown Comics. Very agreeable of them and generous of them to let us use their space and do a guerrilla interview. And we, like you said, we now have two Olivia Munn things. On YouTube, we have the thing with Kevin Pereira and Blair Butler, and we have this. So look in a few days, action fans, whenever soon, for the YouTube visuals. But today you get the radio. Today you get the radio on Action Room Tonight. Is it time for a break, Producer Mike?
Let's go into a break, and after the break, we're going to have the nerd news.
And special report from Lindsay Lohan's jail cell. Remember that old commercial? You sank my battleship.
I do, Tony.
Well, there is an amazing new website, and it has nothing to do with battleship. But it is called YouBentMyWookie.com.
That sounds wrong.
You bent my Wookie. What if my Wookie got bent? What would happen?
I don't know, but it doesn't. It seems like you'd be.
I'd be in pain somehow.
Out of commission for a while.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh. Please don't bend my Wookie, action listeners, but go to this amazing pop culture website. With all the latest news in geek culture, toys, and collectibles, YouBentMyWookie.com.
And you know what they have right now?
Oh, yeah?
An exclusive. And those are important for websites.
Exclusive, yes.
An exclusive
No
interview.
One else has this.
No one else. An interview with Corey Edwards, who's directing the Fraggle Rock movie.
Oh, my God.
I loved Fraggle Rock as a kid.
Oh, I completely love Fraggle Rock.
Right.
Gobo Moki Wembley Booba Red.
All right, so...
So my Wookie is bent.
It is.
Ow!
Bend your Wookie and go to YouBentMyWookie.com.
All right, action fans, we are back. You know what, Producer Mike, before we go into the nerd news, maybe I should write my memoir, and I could call it, what could I call it? Suck It Spider-Man? Suck It Green Hornet?
I don't think you should be sucking anything. I think it should be...
Suck It...
maybe Lick It.
Plastic Man? Because I'm tall and skinny?
I don't know. What superhero would you do if you were a superhero?
Who would I be?
I guess Plastic Man would be a pretty good one for you.
Suck It Plastic Man. This is the worst title
But the
ever.
Question is, would you dress up like Plastic Man for the cover of your...
I would. I absolutely would.
With those glasses. I could actually...
Yeah.
You'd actually be a really good Plastic Man.
All right. We're gonna stay with that. Someday you may see me cosplay.
Right.
I hate that term. Cosplay.
Someday that actually might be nerd news. But for
yeah,
now, here
for
is
now.
The real...
Nerd News.
Okay, in the nerd news, sadly, we must begin this nerd news, as we have many times in the past on the show, with the news of a death in the comic book family world.
Not this specific death, but deaths in general.
What do you mean?
We don't always have this death being the one we
talk
about.
Oh, no, yeah. In any case, Harvey Pekar passed away late Sunday night in Ohio at age 70. It was a real shock to everyone in the comic book world. He had had cancer a few years ago. Now, of course, if you don't know who Harvey Pekar is, first of all, spank yourself.
Right.
Slap your wrist.
We were patting ourselves on the back in the first segment. Now we're
slapping
ourselves.
Now we're spanking you. It's interactive radio. We're reaching out through the airwaves, through the internet. Harvey Pekar wrote the legendary sort of autobiographical comic book American Splendor. He'd been doing it since, I believe, the early 80s or late 70s.
And
of course, the movie was made about his life, starring Paul Giamatti, American Splendor.
In 2003, which is an amazing movie.
It's a great film.
But the reason I remember him, and I don't know that you were, if you were like,
oh, his
up
Letterman
on this,
appearances?
Yeah. Were you aware of
those? I found out about them after the fact. He would write about his Letterman appearances in the comic books.
Right, right.
And I discovered Harvey Pekar's American Splendor when I was in junior high school. Mm-hmm. It was the first indie comic I had ever seen. I mean, true indie comic.
Yeah, I mean, the way
But I didn't see them.
I was a huge Letterman fan.
Right.
Okay, so I would, like, tape his shows in the 80s, and I was just, like, all about Letterman and Max Headroom. And so some of the segments that were the funniest were obviously Harvey Pekar, who at the time, I read comics, but
right.
I didn't read his.
Right.
His were, like, you know, the indie,
yeah.
They were, like, real life, slice of life stuff, and that wasn't superhero stuff. I wasn't into that. So, but he was the most entertaining person on
yeah.
the planet when it came to his appearances on Letterman, because he would totally make fun of Letterman. They do a little bit of it in the show, in the movie. And so I would watch this, and I think I remember going to the comic book store and saying, oh, this guy, American Splendor, do you have it, or whatever, and looking at it, and flipping through it, and it was a kind of an R. Crumb kind of style thing, but I couldn't get into it, but I was totally a fan of him.
Right.
So when everything kind of blew up and stuff, I then was like, I didn't read his stuff, but but I was still like way more, you know, kind of aware and understood what his impact was in the comic book world.
He was a great writer. He grew up in Cleveland, lived in Cleveland all his life. And he worked a file clerk job for the city of Cleveland, and despite his success as a writer, he worked that job every day of his life. He always felt the money that he made as a writer would never be enough to actually pay for his life. And sadly, I mean, he made it big, but I think the movie money, you know, runs out pretty quickly. He had a daughter that he put through college. He told stories about everyday life, and I read one review, eulogy of his, or a death notice, an article about him. And they said, very succinctly, his stories shouldn't have worked, but they did.
Oh,
because they were sort of Zen-like stories that didn't really have beginning, middle, or ends. They were just stories about his life, or he would also write a lot about his friends in Cleveland, his coworkers. People would just tell him stories about their lives, about their families, about their jobs.
And as in the movie, they show how this relationship began with him and Crumb, as far as an artist and writer team. Well, what was the situation? Was most of his stuff done by Crumb, or just a portion of it?
The very his first few stories were illustrated by Crumb.
Okay.
Because Crumb believed in Harvey as a writer. Harvey said, why don't you write stuff? And Harvey was like, I can't draw. I draw stick figures. And Crumb, who was already kind of known at that time, he said, I'll illustrate a few of your stories and sort of get you started. And that's what.
And you should also see the R. Crumb documentary.
Oh, which is amazing. And one of the friends of the show, we interviewed him, Dean Haspiel, became one of Harvey's most frequent collaborators and illustrators. And Jeff Neuwelt, who we also interviewed on a YouTube video with Dean, became sort of the curator of Harvey's work in the last several years. And the Pekar Project, which is on smithmagazine.com, smithmag.com, check them out. It's fantastic.
Now another...
very sad to see Harvey Pekar suddenly passing away. He really was a major, major comics creator.
Okay, well, someone else who had incredible Letterman appearances was Joaquin Phoenix, who was rumored to replace Ed Norton as the Hulk, Bruce Banner.
Which we thought would be a good choice.
I thought he would be a really good choice.
And that's a good Letterman segue, Producer Mark.
Yeah, thank you very much. but now we hear Mark Ruffalo
is in talks to play Bruce Banner.
I do not think that's a good choice.
I would have preferred Joaquin Phoenix, actually. He has an edge to him and an unpredictability to him that Ruffalo doesn't quite have.
And I loved when I first saw Mark Ruffalo in You Can Count on Me.
Yeah,
I
he's great in that.
I thought he was great because it was the first time he seemed so natural and stuff like that. But then in every film after that, he does a great job, but it doesn't seem there's much range with his stuff,
right.
You know? And he just kind of has this mumbly, retarded kind of style. And I just...
I wouldn't put it that way, but he has like a self-effacing cluelessness.
Right.
And he's very neurotic and troubled, but there's not enough strength or repressed passion there to make him Bruce Banner.
Not to mention, he just doesn't seem to look the type as Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's a little chubby, not chubby, but he's not a skinny guy.
How far are we with this rumor? Are they like saying that this is for real?
There were severe rumors. Severe rumors. It's like a severe thunderstorm warning.
We should have that as a segment. Severe rumor.
Severe rumor warning.
Or maybe we should have rumors. Have they already done this, rumors and the level of how
Rich
serious?
Rich Johnson does that.
That's what I thought.
He has a red light, a yellow light,
and a
green light.
But he doesn't do that anymore.
No, he stopped doing
it. So we can take it over.
We could totally copy that idea. Anyway, some very reliable geek movie sites, who almost always have reliable scoops, they said he was literally in deep talks talks that are very far along to play Bruce Banner. So we'll see. But there is a rumor out there on the internet, another rumor, a theory, that this is all just gamesmanship. This is all like the World Wrestling Federation, and that Norton and Marvel are going to announce that Norton will play it, and then it'll be, ha-ha, fans, we made you think we hated each other, and it's really Edward Norton.
Well, the reason,
wouldn't that be nice if that was true?
But now, the reason I don't believe this is because we just came across a tape, just like Radar Online came across the Mel Gibson tapes,
right,
of Ed Norton having a phone conversation with Stan Lee, and he sounds out of his mind.
He sounds just like Mel Gibson.
Dude, it is so freaky.
This is another Action Room exclusive. You're getting so many exclusives in this episode,
It's
fans.
Bad enough that he's not going to be the Hulk, but this might ruin his career.
Just like Mel Gibson.
So do you want... I think we should just, without further ado,
let's play
the tape.
I think we should just play it. Perez Hilton, suck on this.
How dare you badmouth me in the press, Stan?
Listen, Ed, I have done nothing wrong. You're overreacting.
Marvel said I'm not a team player. Not a team player? I've given you everything and you've given me shit!
What have you given me?
What?
You haven't given me anything, Ed. You're crazy.
I haven't given you anything? I gave you a fucking Fantastic Hulk movie!
The Hulk is my baby, Ed.
No, he's my baby. Before me, you had that lousy Ang Lee piece of shit. Or maybe you liked his movie better because he has the same last name as you. What's the deal with that anyway, Stan? You're not even fucking Asian. Why is your last name Lee?
Why are you so angry?
You don't want to see me when I'm angry, Stan. I am the fucking Hulk, you hack. You make me sick. You're a fucking 1,000 years old and old people are gross and irrelevant.
Listen, Ed. I have to go.
I hope you get raped by a pack of mutants, because you're fucking asking for it, Stan. It'll be your fault.
Enough said.
Oh, don't you dare hang up on me, Stan fucking Lee. You fucking cocksucker, don't you dare hang up on me!
Oof, what do you think is going to happen to Edward Norton after that gets out?
Wow, his career is done.
Oh,
but
man.
I have to say, it was an incredible audition to play the Hulk, and I think they should reconsider.
Informal audition. So, the other big news, as we announced in our cheesy Entertainment Tonight voices earlier in this episode, you wake up one day and you don't know what news is going to hit. I had no idea that they'd release the first image of Ryan Reynolds as Green Lantern on Twitter. I thought that would be reserved for a Comic-Con announcement at San Diego.
Now, like,
is nothing sacred?
Now, I'm pretty sure this is what I stated when I first saw the first one, because the first one was a painting. It wasn't even...
Yes.
I was like, yeah, this looks good. But let's see how it really looks on his face. Now, Tony, being a big fan of comics,
I hope you've all seen the image.
You're pretty familiar with the different versions, I guess, of Green Lantern.
It's the cover of Entertainment Weekly.
How does this stack up?
The costume itself is pretty decent. It has this ribbed for her pleasure thing going on.
Well, it looks like when you see those, Grey's Anatomy of like the muscles?
Musculature, yeah. I mean, okay, look. The costume is not very faithful to the comics. In the comics, it's green and sections of it are black. And it's a very simple, very iconic costume that is almost as iconic as, say, Spider-Man's costume. It's hard to screw up. They didn't screw it up, but they changed it. I know that it's going to be a CGI energy creation around his whole body, which is fine. I just don't know that it needs to be this ribbed musculature thing. However, the ribbed musculature is fine. And it's amazing compared to the shitty, shitty, shitty mask. That's the only other design element on the Green Lantern costume. You have the logo, you have the costume, and you have the mask. There's not much happening visually on the costume, so the mask better be good, and the mask looks shitty, Hollywood. Martin Campbell, director, Jeff Johns, writer and executive producer, fix that shit. Fix the mask, and I was not alone in this opinion. Once I was blindsided by the fact that they actually released this shit today, I said, costume looks fine, fix the mask sucks, everyone agrees, the mask sucks. Yes. And when we saw a higher resolution close-up of it, it's just Photoshopped on. So maybe we can hope and pray that that is not the final CGI mask. Yeah. Why don't they just put a real plastic mask on him? If you want to CGI it, fine, but have it look real. God!
Well, this is my guess.
Yeah!
They Photoshopped it to see what fans would think
so that they can change it. Was it as kind of a run it up the flagpole and see who salutes?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, it is weird because they took
And no out, one saluted.
They took out so much of the brow that
yes,
it's
the
like,
brow is essential.
Yeah.
Don't you understand? Do I need to give a class in this? We're both illustrators, producer Mike and I. You need to accentuate the humanity of the guy's brow with the brow.
Yeah, no, I agree
We're
completely.
We're browbeating this brow.
And I definitely think, my guess is it's going to be different in the final
movie.
It
better be.
Yeah. Well, I tweeted, or what, Tony?
I tweeted Jeff Johns personally, and I told him. I told him straight. And he and I are going to have lunch after, and we're going to talk about it.
All
right.
Anyway, but the other pick that was kind of really cool.
Which hit a few days ago.
Yeah, was the Thor image with Anthony Hopkins playing Odin?
Odin.
Okay, sorry.
Orton. Playing Anthony Hopkins
Odie?
Plays Odin.
Odie
he plays
from
Odie
Garfield?
From Garfield. And Loki, Tom Huddleston, Hiddleston?
Right.
Coddleston Pie?
And then who's...
As Loki. And Chris Hemsworth.
Hemsworth.
We're going to get these names one day, people. As Thor.
Yeah.
It's a great picture.
It looks fun.
It's awesome. The picture totally epitomizes the sibling rivalry. Because Thor is the real child of Odin, but Loki is the half-brother.
Okay.
He's the stepson of Odin. So that's why Loki has that bastard, neglected stepchild complex.
And we're not...
Odin, daddy never loved me as much as he loved Thor.
And we do like their costumes. What do you think of the patch?
The patch, I question why doesn't it have some sort of string or rope attached to it. But I guess they figure these are gods. They don't need magic. They can magically keep it there.
It's almost like a monocle patch or something.
Yeah. No, the costumes for Thor, Odin, and Loki, they do a great job of making the Jack Kirby-esque designs look realistic and yet still look ornate and still look like a fantasy Norse myth should.
Mm-hmm.
A Norse myth should.
No, it's almost industrial looking, like the metal platage.
It's like 80s industrial.
Is that a word, platage?
Platage. We're going to coin that. You coined radiosodes, now we're going to coin platage.
Metal platage. Okay.
So let us know on Twitter, Action Fans, what you think of the shitty mask on Green Lantern and of the awesome costumes on Thor.
All right.
And Odin and Loki.
And I think that's it.
And that is it.
We are out.
So now... Watch, Action Fans. Watch our Twitter feed, watch our Facebook for when we release the video of the Olivia Munn interview.
And we want to thank Olivia for doing such an amazing job putting up with us.
Yes.
And just being so gracious.
And
she's
awesome. Kept me on my toes.
Yeah, she's a very funny girl.
Gotta love it.
She is not just hot, she is very funny.
No, this is the big thing. People sometimes tend to think in the entertainment world, oh, she's just a pretty face or someone like her is just beautiful. No, she is smart, funny, and beautiful.
And I get this.
And I will mud wrestle anyone who says different.
But you won't mud wrestle Olivia herself?
Well, I probably won't get to. So I'll just have to mud wrestle someone who defames Olivia.
And this is the most remarkable thing that we didn't comment on. We were waiting for so long that I actually started reading her book. Now, I never read anything.
This is
so
true.
So the fact that I was reading something really meant that we were just waiting for hours and we had nothing to do. So, and I actually thought it was pretty funny.
Olivia Munn... You got producer Mike to read something, and that's one to grow on.
So I just need more hot girls to make me wait to read things.
I trust that life will provide for you
sure
in that respect.
Happen. Suck it, Wonder Woman. Buy it.
All right. So enjoy the episode. Look for the video on YouTube. It'll hit any day now. It'll drop like it's hot any day now. And next episode, producer Mike.
Kim Rogers will be back. She's a big regular here. And she will do a review Inception.
Yes.
Which I have no idea what it's about, but it looks cool.
Awesome. All right.
I guess that's it.
All right, Action Fans, we're out.